Good evening. I hope you had an easy fast. Please join me in saying the Anna Bekoach. Anna Bekoach, Gedula Chemincha, Tatir Tzerura. Aleph Bet Gimel, Yud Tav Tzadi. The gematria of the six letters is 506, the same gematria as the phrase Ahavat Hinam, unconditional love. Kabel rinat amcha sakvenu taharenu no. Kufrei Shayin Sin Tet Nun. These six letters spell two Hebrew words, Kra, which means tear up, Satan, which is the name of the negative side, the force that gives us free will. The same six letters can be rearranged to spell Sha'ar Katan, small gates, and reminds us to guard our gates, our small gates, the head, the eyes, the ears, the nose, the mouth, which are the only entry points for the negative side. Na gibor dorshe yehudcha kevavat shamrem. Nun gimel dalet yud kaf shin. Nun gimel dalet has a gematria of 57, which is the Hebrew word zan, which means sustenance. And sustenance in the Hebrew connection or consciousness represents the fulfillment of all of our desires. Yud Kaf Shin is a sequence of letters that we utilize to take back the energy we've given to the negative side through our mistakes. Barchem Tacharem Rachame Sidkatcha Tamid Gamlem Betet Resh Tzadi Tav Gimel. This sequence of letters connects us to the Sfirah of Netzach. Part of the essence of Netzach is eternal victory. We also utilize this sequence of letters to connect to the two letters of the month, the Kaf, that created the planet Sun, and the Tet, that created the constellation Aryeh, the lion, as well as the Hebrew month of Av. Chasin Kadosh Berov Tuvcha Na'el Adatach Hetkuf Bet Tet Nunayin. These six letters connect us to the Sphira of Hod. Some of the essence of Hod has to do with appreciation and thankfulness. What do we have to be appreciative for? When was the last time you remembered to ask for health when you weren't sick? Appreciation includes all of that, and always asking for more. Yachid ge'e lamcha p'nei zokrei kedushatach. Yud gimel lamed pei zayin kuf. This sequence of letters is used to speed the spreading of the wisdom of Kabbalah during this, the sixth millennium. Shavatenu Kabel Ushmati Akatenu Yodea Talumot Shinkufav Tzadiyutaf. This sequence of letters connects us to the Sphira of Malchut. The first two letters, Shin and Kuf, have a gematria of 400. 400 represents the four worlds, times 10 sephirot within 10 sephirot. 400 represents perfection. Vav Tzadi Yud Tav has a gematria of 506, which is the same gematria as the first verse. Connects us to Ahavat Hinam, unconditional love. And it teaches us that ultimate manifestation, ultimate perfection, can only be achieved with the injection in the consciousness of love. It's good to come to understand the difference between wanting peace and being against war. And the last verse we say in a whisper, which we call silently, but I will say it out loud for the purposes of teaching. Baruch Shem Kivod Malchuto Leolam Vaed. I'm now going to read from the Zohar, from the Parasha of Ve'et Hanan. I'm reading from section 13, Shema, and blessed be the name of the glory of his kingdom forever and ever. The verse we just whispered. Verse 85, Vayhi Noam Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kodanei Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kodaneihu Diktiv V'yahavta Et Adonai Elohecha Chai Kera Okimna V'yokumnucha Havraya Aval Yid L'sha'ala I V'chai Yehuda Dishma Yisrael Yid Kalil Kola Yemina Ushmala Amai Ketiv levatar v'yahavat v'yahavta v'haya im shemoa v'ha b'yehuda it kelilu ela chatam b'iklal haka b'ifrat v'haki itzterich. It is written, and you shall love, the words are v'yahavta, Hashem your Elohim. A verse from Devarim. We explain this verse, and so did the friends. But we should ask if everything right and left is included in this meditation of Shema Yisrael. Why is it then written, and you shall love, which is the right, and it shall come to pass if you hearken? The Hebrew is v'haya im shemoa, which is left. If they were already included in the meditation of Kriyat Shema, and he answers, there in Kriyat Shema it is part of the general, where the right and the left of Dat were comprehended into a general principle. And here it is of the particular. At first it is written, and you shall love in itself, which is Chesed, and then it shall come to pass, if you hearken, which is Geburah, and it, as so it should be. Without Rabbi Ashlag's commentary in the midst of this English translation, we would never understand what's going on here. In Judaism, it's rarely taught except to the deepest, most involved students. But there is this concept of general versus specific. And we will read a verse from Torah that describes a general rule. You shall love your V'ahavta l'reacha kamocha, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Is this a general rule or a specific rule? Is it at the detailed level or at the overall picture level? There cannot be separation between the two. And yet, in our physical world, we see that kind of separation all the time. People live their life differently than their values. They will verbalize, I'm in favor of being kind to animals. And then they will do an action that they weren't thinking about the animals, and it actually hurts them. We see people constantly not keeping their general values and their specific actions consistent. And we don't understand why people do that. The Kabbalah starts to explain it by recognizing that people are motivated only, and in every action, only by their subconscious, only by their quantum consciousness. And then we justify our actions. I did this because of that. Someone is prejudiced. Someone is not prejudiced. What's the difference between the people? Background, training, last lifetime. Someone is prejudiced. Their unconsciousness is teaching them certain life lessons. Someone is not prejudiced. So their unconscious is teaching them other life lessons. And we need to understand this truth, where our motivations come from, and start to look within those motivations and stop rationalizing those motivations, logically explaining them. Because our connection to Hashem is not always logical. Our connection to Hashem is built in to our essence. We are created as a desire to receive. And one of the desires to receive is to be closer to God. Now we'll justify that when we do an action that brings us closer. And we'll say we did it for this logical reason. It has nothing to do with why we did it. That's just the veil, so we won't look at our real motivations. It's part of the reason why we live in a world of illusion. Tonight's discussion is about restriction part 2. But before we go on, does anybody have any questions about restriction part 1 or about any other subject? If you're on the conference call, star 6 will allow you to unmute your phone so you can be heard. No questions? We all understand restriction. Briefly, it's 4 steps. Stop your reaction. Ask yourself, why did you react the way you did? Transform your consciousness. At last week about restriction and what restriction is, that's fine. But we live in a world that sees patterns. We have a pattern of getting up in the morning, getting dressed, going to work, going about our daily process, going to sleep, and tomorrow we get up and do it again. Some days, those actions are spiritually lower than other days. We call that falling. What happens when you're in pain, when you're depressed, when you're feeling badly? How do you do restriction when you have a toothache? Any guesses? of those are correct. You don't complain that you have a toothache. You be thankful that you have a toothache. You ask for more toothache. Now, I know how ludicrous that sounds. But truthfully, restriction is an amazing tool. When the negative forces hear somebody say, give me more pain, they will give you more pain. You will feel ultimately you will get it, and your headache gets worse, your toothache gets worse, your emotional trauma gets worse, but then it goes away. It stops. It's gone. And ultimately, if you do it properly, that pain will never return. You have a migraine headache? Many people do. When you're in the midst of that migraine, ask for more pain. And if you thought the migraine was the worst it's ever been, it'll be child's play. You will get more pain. But the way the system works, the pain is there to wake you up. The pain is there to cause you to change yourself. The fact that you're asking for more says, I understand I have this pain for a reason. It's cleansing. Give it to me now so I can get it over with. I don't want a little bit at a time. Give it all to me. Let me cleanse it. I don't have to have it anymore. The Satan looks at this person, this person's crazy. Kabbalah, they're learning Kabbalah, they're crazy. Let me out of here, away from this one. And your pain stops. Your headache goes away. Your toothache stops. I have experienced this kind of thing myself. I have experienced it. My roommates had a running toothache, and my roommate has studied Kabbalah for as long as I have, 20 years. And he's had wisdom teeth. He's had impacted teeth. He's had teeth pulled. He's had this whole series of events. And each time, he takes the pain and asks for more to the extent that he's able to handle it. And then he does take some pain pills from time to time, not all the time. But he is at the point where he doesn't get toothaches anymore. And he still has teeth left. This whole series, this whole understanding, when you have fallen, how do you do restriction is what we're talking about when we say ask for more pain. We all have gone through periods in our life where we've fallen. We used to be higher, happier, and today we're not. But have we reached bottom? Are we in the down cycle of our life? Or the down cycle of this process? Restriction has to work in all aspects of our lives. And it does. What we're teaching you this class is how to apply it in these down cycles. Have I reached bottom? Do I have to reach bottom? Ultimately, the answer is no. I can stop the down by asking for more. I don't have to go day after day after day being depressed. I can get it all out in one day by asking for more pain, for more depression, more feeling sorry for myself. My mother passed with colon cancer. At the end, the cancer had had eaten through the wall of her colon and her vagina. And so she literally was defecating through her vagina at the end of her life. I was learning Kabbalah at this time, and I was helping her go through this. I mean, what was the reason that she had this kind of illness? Why did she have to cleanse this way? It's a different discussion than what we're having today. Another time, I'll be happy to answer that for you. But ultimately, my mother could have stopped this process at any point by doing tshuva, by asking for more. How she handled her death, how she handled her process of decline, I was very proud of her, and I learned much from that process. No, each person goes through their own process of life. No one can judge another's process, because no one knows what caused someone to have to go through this. For me, it looked like a painful, emotionally disabling process. But with the tools of Kabbalah, my mother found it enlightening, invigorating. She was asking for more. This is the process when you are in a decline. How do you use restriction when you are in the decline? You do not have to go down to go up. The spiritual laws say you do. You have to go down before you can go higher. And ultimately, with the tools of Kabbalah, you can avoid that process. Not completely. You start to fall and you stop the fall by asking to speed the fall up. And you will go much faster. It'll be over quicker. If you remember when I spoke about the history of the world in the second class, I said, we know what the future is. We know our past, we came from the endless world, and so. And our future is that we will all return to the endless world. The only question is the process from endless world to endless world. That process, which includes our physical world, our life today, that process can be short or it can be long. It can be filled with chaos or it can be filled with joy. That choice is up to us. That choice is how we are implementing restriction in our life. You do not have to fall in the physical level. You can do it in the conscious level. That's stopping your reaction. When you have an earache, you're already in pain. You've already fallen. The negative side is manifest this chaos in your life. It's their fault? No, absolutely not. You have created the opening that caused them to give you this pain. Now it's a question of how do you handle it? Do you go and get a Tylenol and remove the pain quickly? Bailing it again? Or do you run away from the Tylenol, from the quick fix, the temporary relief of pain? You say, no, I want permanent relief from pain. I don't want temporary. I won't settle for temporary relief from pain. I want it all. Every minute you don't take that medicine is a minute you're not veiling yourself. Now, am I telling you never to take Tylenol, never to take a temporary pain reliever? I am not telling you that. I am telling you what's the consciousness of why are you taking it. When the body is in pain, the body wants relief from that pain. Reach for the Tylenol and you're feeding the reactive nature of the body. Stop your reaction. I don't want to take the Tylenol yet. I want more pain. Give me more pain. Let's cleanse this. Let's get rid of it. We never have to feel it again. This is restriction. At its ultimate level, at its most difficult to apply. Gotcha. I'm glad you asked the question because it's very important. We do not suffer. We live in a world of illusion. Somebody has lost a hand or an arm or a finger, God forbid, to all of this. Somebody is not well, has cancer. Do you think this is true? Is the soul dying? It's the effect of our spiritual actions. When we did wrong things, we manifest in our life physically this wake-up call called pain. So we're not suffering. We're being given an opportunity to cleanse. Yes, you do need to be joyful. You can say, okay, I'm not going to take the medicine. Or you can dance around the room, I'm not taking the medicine. And as you dance around the room, your head jars and the pain goes up. Which is the right way to do it? Joyfully. Thank you, God, for sending me this pain to wake me up. Bring it on. Not in a challenging way. Bring it on in a joyful way. It is a difficult action I'm describing. It's a difficult consciousness to manifest. Women have pain in childbirth. When my children's mother was pregnant in the early 70s, there was a new teaching going around Western society. It was called Lamaze. It was natural childbirth being expressed. Women were being trained as, I don't want to say nursemaids, but as people were having babies at home. They were having babies with midwives. Thank you, I couldn't think of the word. People were being trained as midwives, and they were professing that it was healthier for the baby not to have any kind of pain relief during childbirth. Now, no one can tell another person what their pain level is and their pain threshold. It's not about that. Why do women have pain in childbirth? Because of the sin of Chava. This was the curse from God. I can tell you there are women who have less pain than other women. I tell you, there are women who have tremendous amounts of pain, long labors, truly debilitating labors. And I tell you, there are women 6 hours, 8 hours, 10 hours. So it's like they went for a walk. What is the difference? The consciousness of that person at that moment. Are they joyful about it? Or are they swearing at their husband for creating the baby? Are they kicking the doctor because he's bothering her? Where is your consciousness? Every aspect of our life, we have a consciousness. If we are playing out the movie, we are being reactive. We are selfish. We are creating chaos in our life. And it will return as chaos. Guaranteed. If we are happy that I'm in pain, not that I'm happy you're in pain, God forbid, I must feel your pain. But if I have pain, thank you. Thank you for letting me cleanse whatever I did wrong through this manner that seems so easy. Is it easy? Let me tell you, I have seen women go through childbirth. I have seen the change in them through this process. I obviously have never had a child. I'm being male. I can't do it. But I can understand it on a certain level. We have, all of us, have aspects of the curse of Adam and Eve that we must go through. We can go through that joyfully, or we can go through that grumpily. We arrive at it the same place. We all will go back to the endless world. It's only our choice as to whether we're going to back happily or grumpily. When we're in the fall, ask for more. What about the times that things are running smoothly? What's the restriction then? Everything I touched for the last month has done well. Every stock I bought went up. Everybody I talked to was happy, and I left them elevated from where they were. Everything that I'm doing is going well. What do I do? What's my restriction? How do I keep from falling? How do I keep it coming? We all know we live in the cycle of ups and downs. How do I keep it always up? Restriction. But what does restriction look like at that moment when everything is running smoothly? Well, let's understand a little bit of what does it mean everybody is running smoothly. We all know people who start businesses and it grows, they become wealthy. These are nice people. These were religious people maybe, or secular people before they started their business. But they were blessed. Their business grew, they became wealthy. Who caused that? And who do they think caused it? The answers that Bacha gave to those questions were God caused it, and they think they themselves caused it. Now, what happens when you think you caused it? God says, oh, you're running the show? I don't need to be around. Enjoy. I'll catch up to you later when you remember me. Everything is running smoothly. What is the restriction? Is to remember that it's not you. To thank God. To be appreciative of what he has given you and continues to give you. To think it's not me who did it, and it's not enough what he's given me. I want more. I'm in lack. Restriction is the opposite consciousness. Wherever you are, you can do restriction. You're in the upside of the cycle. Everything's running smoothly. The restriction is to say, thank you. I'm not doing this. You're in the downside part of the cycle. It started to get painful and uncomfortable. Thank you. Give me more. You're right in the moment. Stop your reaction. Do the four steps. Even when you say thank you and ask for more, it's restriction and you can still be doing the four steps. I'm just giving you ways to relate to the four steps when it's difficult to remember them. When you're in pain with a migraine, when you're in pain with a toothache, when you're in pain with an upset appendix, that pain is severe. It's hard to think about God when you're feeling that pain. The more you practice restriction, the easier it will become when those times happen to do restriction. That's what this class is about. This class is about restriction part two. How do you do restriction in all parts of the cycle? The ups and the downs. How do you remember to stop your reaction? How do you remember to ask, why am I reacting this way? And how do you remember that you're going to lie to yourself? That you need to delve past it, you need to push past it, and get to the bottom, your true unconscious motivation. That unconscious motivation, when you get to it, and when you transform it into a sharing consciousness, is how you transform your unconscious to be conscious, which is what we mean when we say elevate your conscious. Restriction is the tool that eliminates your chaos. Restriction is the tool that chooses the movie that has less chaos. This afternoon, I was not happy. For no reason. I had forgotten to be happy today. I have a mantra that I say in my morning prayer, and today I forgot it. The mantra is very simple. I will be happy today. I will do all my actions to help bring Mashiach, and through the revelation of this light, I will connect to greater and greater certainty. It's a simple mantra. I say it every day, every morning. I did something that is very out of character for me. I had to move 8-10 boxes from my room to my car because I'm traveling tonight, as you all know. I'm not as limber as I once was. I'm not as physically able as I once was. So I did a shortcut and I brought the car to the door instead of the extra 100 steps. What did they do? What does the universe do? In any given minute of a day, nobody shows up. In 20 minutes, Nobody comes out of that elevator. These kids are going to college where I was living. I'm in the middle of the day. They're not home. But who comes out of the door? Somebody that makes me want to, they want me to move the car. But they didn't ask me to move the car. They start yelling at me. How could I park there? How selfish I am. They have a doctor's appointment to go to. And every word out of this woman's mouth was absolutely correct. But it wasn't expressed in a loving manner. It was expressed in an abusive manner. It was expressed from a bittered woman who is unhappy. And I was given the opportunity to see her pain. And I didn't. I reacted. I don't care about your doctor's appointment. If you had asked me nicely, I probably would have moved the car. But the way you're acting at me, and I went on and on and on, ultimately scaring this woman because I'm a large man. I didn't back down to her aggressive manner. All of these kinds of issues that I needed to be aware of, that I need to learn for my correction. I didn't do restriction today. So what does that mean? It means I have the opportunity to do tshuva, which we'll talk about Sunday. It means I have the opportunity to change. So the next time the universe throws me these curveballs, one after another, after another, after another, I'll still be able to do the restriction. The more you practice restriction on as mundane issues as what underwear did I put on today? Should I have tea or milk in my tea, or one sugar or two sugars? Whatever simple daily decision we make, we're playing out a movie. But we have the opportunity to do restriction. We have the opportunity to reveal light, which is what happens when we do restriction. Restriction part two is really what restriction is all about. Every moment of every day is restriction. Do the four steps or fall back on the patterns. Give me more pain. Thank you, God, for what you're doing. I appreciate what I have so I don't have to lose it. All of that is different aspects of restriction. Why do we say a blessing before we eat? You've read my emails. We've talked about that you're activating the food. You say a blessing before you eat as a form of restriction. You're hungry. You're sweaty from wherever you were coming. You want to eat. You got to shove it down your mouth. And you stop. Your reaction is to shove it down your mouth. And you say a blessing. Yes, if you say it by rote, if you say it that this is what you've been taught to say, and you don't know why you're saying it, you have less restriction than if you consciously say, I'm saying this blessing to stop my reaction because I really want to shove this food down my throat. Every aspect of Jewish ritual, every aspect, and I don't care where it applies, is talking about restriction. You light candles? Why? How is lighting a candle restriction? Because you're bringing in light into a place of darkness. Even on that simple level, because you're saying a blessing when you want to run off to the synagogue or preparing dinner or whatever it is that we do in the rush of our day. I want to be in Shabbat, so let's light the candle. Let me take the time to meditate. Let me take the time to do the ritual properly. Let me be appreciative of how I put the wick in the cork on the oil candle. Most women don't use oil candles today, but in our Hanukkah candles, we do. Each step, where is my consciousness? I'm speaking to you. I get a thought. The first word of the sentence is the. That's the thought that is on my conscious level. My mouth opens, my voice box tightens, the word the comes out, and then the rest of the sentence, the cow jumped over the moon. Where is the restriction? It's not there. I'm not doing it on a conscious level. But if I think about every word, I am bringing that unconscious, which causes me to say, the cow jumps over the moon, I'm bringing it to the conscious level. It's restriction. Last week, I said to you, what is restriction? And the sage in the Talmud says it's putting his hand in his pocket and taking out 2 coins when he means to take out 3 coins. And for all of us, this isn't restriction, this isn't pain, this isn't chaos. But it is. The more I bring my unconscious into the level of my conscious, the more I elevate my conscious. This is what restriction is doing. This is why, please practice restriction. Please ask me as your teacher, am I doing restriction correctly? I said to you this is a lifetime study, and it is. And initially you will probably not do restriction properly. But it's okay. It's part of the process of education. Restriction is the only tool that brings you to a different movie that has less chaos. And depending on the power and strength of your restriction, I think I mentioned it in the class on Sunday, but maybe not. Joseph HaTzadik, we call him the righteous because his employer's wife, the employer who trusted him, the employer who appointed him the guardian, second in command of his estates. This employer's wife is constantly seducing him. And she's a beautiful woman. And who can know? Everybody's out of the house but he and she. And who can know? And he is about to sleep with her. He is about to penetrate her. He literally, according to the Midrash, dropped 10 drops of semen. And then he saw a vision of his father. And that caused him to come out of his lust and to run away from her. Do we clearly say this is restriction? Yes, we all agree this is restriction. But then we have a couple who were married, lived at the time of the temple, were sold into Rome as slaves. There's no mikveh in Rome. They're married, sleeping next to each other, day after day, month after month. And the halakha and the laws of family purity say, unless a woman has immersed herself in a mikveh, she cannot have relations with her husband. Who is to know? The Romans want them to be together. They present them together. They put them together. You're married? Go have children. Make us more slaves. And their response was, God commands me family purity. 20 years, 30 years. A man was not able to have pleasure with his wife, and yet he slept next to her for 20 years or 30 years. Which is the greater restriction? Do you think that couple even has to come back into this world of pain and suffering? Or did they complete their correction through those 30 years? Give me more, God. Give me more pain. Let me cleanse what I have to cleanse. Let me be who I can become. Let me grow to the level that I can achieve. Let me practice restriction, please. As my your teachers, please practice restriction in everything that you do. You'll get it wrong, but at least you're trying. Ask me individually, collectively, in class, out of class. Is this restriction? And I'll teach you how to think about this for yourself. Just as I said to you today, I didn't do restriction today. But it was after the fact that I thought back, how could I have restricted? Why didn't I restrict? What was played out in that scene that to me was quite ugly? This is how we learn. Are there any questions? Sunday is tshuva. Tshuva that you think you know, you don't. We'll learn more. Sunday is at 10 a.m. We will be using Uvu and be connecting to both Los Angeles and San Diego and New Mexico, where I will be staying. So everybody will be in the picture. Tonight at 10 o'clock, we will be talking about the mitzvah of not to hate your fellow Jew. We'll see if it only applies to Jews or not to hate your fellow human being. Tomorrow night at 10 p.m., we'll be reading from the Zohar, the portion of Ve'etchanan, the portion that teaches us much about praying. But not everything. We learn that from Chana, who was praying for a child so strongly that the high priest thought she was drunk. Next Tuesday, we will be, I'm not sure what we'll talk about next Tuesday. Tuesday night, oh, actually, let's start over again. Monday night at 7 o'clock, 6 o'clock, West Coast time, we're starting a new basic class in the New Mexico area in Albuquerque. So it will be recorded. You're all welcome to come hear that class again. That class that teaches you about illusion and how to see illusion. Tuesday, I'm not sure what we're talking about. The Tuesday represents the LA classes. And sometimes I review certain things. We'll start to prepare for the high holidays. Wednesday, we will only have the 10 o'clock class. Thursday, the Zohar class. And Friday at 11 a.m., we will have another beginning class in New Mexico. That one will be on the subject of the world history. So does anybody have any questions before I wish you all shalom for tonight? Shalom.